Continental Tyres.
AFL Trade Radio.
Tyre on Trade for Continental Tyres. When you need tyres, ask for Continental. Continental-tyres.com.au.
Hello everybody and welcome. It is Time on Trade with me, Cam Luke, as we work our way into day two of the unofficial AFL off-season. Of course, free agency doesn't fire up until Friday morning. Trade's not next week, but things are already starting to move. If you want to chat, very simple, 1-300-23-55-48. The Kogan Mobile open line is open. A fair bit going on. We'll talk a little bit about Lipinski and how he will get to Collingwood now officially. The decision has been made by his manager to request a trade. We're going to talk a little bit about Ben King and have Matthew Lloyd's comments this morning. And a little sliding doors moment that only earlier today Matty Rendell and Soss spoke about re-2014. But I do want to open it up with this. 1-300-23-55-48, the Kogan Mobile open line. What would you trade about this? What would you change about free agency and trades? What would you do? Everybody ringing up, texting in, hitting us up on Twitter, suggesting you trade this particular person for that particular person. But if you had an opportunity to actually change anything in the system, be it the length, be it the restricted or unrestricted free agent process, be it teams putting their hand up after or players putting their hand up after round 12 and saying, hey, you know what? This has got to be changed. If there's anything you would change, what would it be? 1-300-23-55-48. I am not big at all on compensation for free agency. I think too often players, and as we know, it's a long time for unrestricted free agency and then even longer for restricted free agency. It's a long time. You are drafted to a football club. You are there for a number of years, of which there are many times and many opportunities for the football club of which you play for to convince you that this is the best place for you to end your career. And then we get to this formula where we're not really sure what it's all about. And a player gets, well, not poached, but convinced that elsewhere is the better place for him, be it financially, be it premiership, be it whatever it might be. And then the club doesn't really fight too hard for it. They don't even have to prove that they've got the deal that is set in stone. They simply, oh, we'll get a first round pick. Oh, we'll get a first-round pick. It's put your finger in the air and try and work it out that type of way. I'm just not big on free agency compensation. So 1-300-23-55-48. Even if it's unrestricted or in a situation where you get to a free agent putting the hand up, you must 100% as a club offer a deal that has to be able to satisfy the terms of which the deal has been offered from the new club. You have to be able to prove it that you wanted to fight and keep this player. There are, of course, situations where you don't want to keep the free agents who's put their hand up and said, I'm on my way out. Oh, that's fine. Just don't get compensated. Why should you, as a club, get something for someone you don't want anymore? 1-300-23-55-48, the Kogan Mobile open line is open. A lot to get into. We're going to talk a little bit of Ben King as well. Saints fans. It's an early morning start for Lloydie and Kane Corns, but in that situation, it's one that probably had you waking up with a big smile on your face if what Lloydie is suggesting is going to happen. Ben King and the Saints in the next 12 months, 1-300-23-55-48. It is time on trade for Continental Tyres. When you need tyres, ask for Continental, continental-tyres.com.au. Patrick Lipinski has officially requested a trade to Collingwood, so we'll get to that as well. Sliding door moments and plenty more to get into, but let's get into it. What would you change? What would you change? If you are right now in a situation where you are given one thing you can change about this entire free agency or trade period, would you make it longer? Would you make it shorter? Would you restrict free agents from being able to do this? Would you change the timing of it? The door is open. We're early into this. Let's get into that. Anthony in Melbourne. Hello to you, buddy.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. Mate, what would you change if given the opportunity?
What I would change is essentially, at the moment, we have to wait for this like period to open up. Why can't we just have it, once you've made the deal in principle with the club that you want to work with, mm-hmm. why not just do it straight away? Like, why do we have to wait?
Yeah, it's one of those things, I think, where the AFL, and I'm not totally against it, maybe to try and make it a bit more equal. Of course, if you go out in the first, and we know that these conversations are probably happening in at least in a small way at some point over the course of the home and away season, and definitely later in the year. But I guess if you're a team that doesn't make the eight, you've got a month head start on teams that do. Now, maybe that will help the equality of the competition a little bit, maybe, if you look at it that way. But I think that's what it is. So you have two teams that go all the way to a Saturday, and then trade period opens on the Monday. I think the AFL want to take a little bit of a deep breath and give those chances, or at least those clubs, an opportunity to be able to get into this trade and free agency market, even though probably is happening in some way, Anthony. I think that is the way that it goes. But I do understand we are sitting around waiting for free agency, still a couple of days away, and then trade the following week. But I do like your suggestion, mate. Thank you for the call.
Nice.
Gabriel is in Wodonga on 1300 23 55 48. What would you change?
Well, I wouldn't go with the restricted and unrestricted free agents. Mm-hmm. I would just have them on contract, they can be traded, and off contract, they can go anywhere.
So any time. So when you sign your rookie deal, it's a 3-year deal. That once that 3 years is up, it's all about trading them anyway, if they want to get out.
Yeah.
There's an argument to suggest that already does happen, and the fact is that we're talking about Ben King, and obviously Matthew Lloyd's comments this morning suggested that free agency was bought in, obviously, as a way of once you've done your time. But there are ways nowadays to force yourself out. Adam Chair is a perfect example of that. He's obviously not got to free agency, but he's put his hand up and said that he wants to get to a Melbourne club. We are expecting it to be Carlton. So there is an argument that it kind of happens a little bit, and we just need to formalise it more.
Yeah, I just don't like the wording, really.
That's not a bad point. Hey, who do you brag for, mate?
Pardon?
Who do you brag for?
The Bombers.
You'd be pretty happy where sitting Ben Rutten's comments that it might not be overly active over the next couple of weeks because they're pretty confident about some of these players on their list taking the next step?
Yeah, I just hope we can get Ben King next year.
Well, so does St Kilda. In fact, to be fair, probably so does every single club. Appreciate your call, Gabriel. You can get involved on the Kogan Mobile Open Line, 1300 2355 48. If you had the opportunity to change anything, be it around free agency, around trades, lengthening of it, making it shorter, whatever it might be, well, there's a lot going on, and you have the opportunity right now to tell me what it would be. On Ben King, well, these comments got a lot of people talking today, is what Matthew Lloyd said very early this morning.
Where I'm interested in, mine is a watch this space on what Essendon and St Kilda do in terms of picks for next season, because I think the Ben King key forward, Peter Wright and Aaron Francis were the key forwards in a final. Mm. So many flaws were exposed in this year's final series. Like, it's amazing how so many teams were just found out badly. Like Geelong were through the midfield.
Port Adelaide
were exposed badly. Even Brisbane, they keep getting there. They get found out. Mm. Essendon in the first week of the finals, found out. And I think you couldn't expect to win a final with Aaron Francis and Peter Wright as your two key forwards. And so St Kilda think they've got him, Kane. That's the talk. They feel like they've had him and that they will get Ben King. That's the talk. But I just wonder whether you'll see Essendon try and get their picks forward for next season just so they're in that window, because he's the player that they are crying out for and could take them to the promised land.
All right, there you go. Matthew Lloyd earlier today in the early trade with Kane Corns. Lewis in Malvern, I'll let you go first, mate, because before I fire up, what do you think, Lewis?
I've heard that he's going to Essendon, yeah.
It's a big thing, isn't it? He's a young man, of course. He's rated extremely highly. There's that continuing conversation around the Gold Coast Suns, which no doubt is annoying to the Gold Coast Suns players and coaches and even the AFL, to be fair, because they would so desperately want these players to continue to wear the Gold Coast Suns players. But it's also in the way that every time there's a Victorian young gun, he gets linked to another team, or a lot of teams, and Ben King is one of those stars. What do you think in 12 months' time, what would you as an Essendon fan? Are you an Essendon fan?
I'm not, but I've just heard that.
All right, who do you back for?
Collingwood.
All right, what do you think it's going to take to get him out of the football club at the Gold Coast in 12 months' time?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't really know. I think something along the lines of like a Nick Cox or an Archie Perkins would have to be involved, but I'm not really sure.
That's going to be the big thing, isn't it? Because you're going to have to, and we see a situation, thank you, Lewis, see a situation when it comes to AFL trading. You can't go too far into the future. AFL recently introduced trading future picks 1 year in the future, and it allows you that opportunity to be able to get use a couple of first-rounders to try and have a crack at, you know, a guy like Ben King. We'll use him as an example here. Other sports, I'm not suggesting we should Americanize this, but, geez, if you could trade 3 or 4 years down the track, that Ben King thing would be a legitimate chance right now. It'd be a big chance for them to have a real crack at it. We hear the word and the phrasing pre-agents. I hear Mitch Cleary a couple of days ago go with that, which specifically relates to players out of contract in their free agency periods, mainly unrestricted. I understand that, but this is a similar situation. Tom Boyd, we go back 5, 6, what was it, 2014? Was it end of 2014? So back 7 years ago, that was the situation. He had a year to go on his contract, and he was already talking about what's going to happen in 12 months in the Bulldogs, although it was half blown up. The Ryan Griffin situation, and then with the coaching with Brendan McCartney, it changed so much at the footy club, and it meant they could kind of swing for a home run right then and there to try and get Tom Boyd into your football club. And if you're a Western Bulldogs fan, you've got absolutely no regrets about that. So the opportunity for clubs, if they had some more future allowing to come to trading draft picks, it would mean that it would be on for all hell. Now, in saying that, I'm not suggesting that we should go down that path, because if all of a sudden the AFL allowed clubs to start to trade, you know, more than 2 years or two drafts in a row, we could see remarkably ridiculous things happen with people who may not necessarily be at the football club in 2 years' time, let alone 5 or 6 if they went down that path. But there is no doubt Essendon, St Kilda, in fact, any Victorian club will be just having a little think. If they do get the whisper or the feeling that Ben King does want to leave, well, all of a sudden, they'll be just trying to resurrect, maybe move some magnets and salary cap mathematics around to try and see if it can work. If you have a look at the last premiers, Melbourne and Richmond, well, Melbourne had Prestia and Tom Lynch, who left the Gold Coast Suns, who are now multiple premiership players. And then if you have a look at this particular year, you got Stephen May, who, if he's not the best defender in the league, he's in the top three for certain. Out of the Gold Coast Suns, now with success, playing in front of a big crowd, now got a premiership medallion around his neck. So this is something the AFL is very wary of for obvious reasons, and that's something that is going to continue to play on the minds of many people in the next 12 or so months as this Ben King conversation starts to really go to a next level. And it's a lot of pressure on a young kid who has yet to really rip apart a season, but he's a developing key position player that I think a lot of people think he's going to turn into a superstar sooner rather than later. If they don't get him under contract ASAP, then it's going to heat up in the next, you know, 3 or 4 months as we get into season 2022. Paul's in Templestowe. Hello to you, Paul. Are you there, Paul?
Look, just on the comment regarding there was this mention about a dynasty for Melbourne coming up. We need to tread very carefully when we say that, and I take you back to the Collingwood of 2010 under probably one of the best coaches of the modern era, being Mick Malthouse. And we basically had Geelong, beat us on the following year, and yet again we finished top of the ladder and we lost twice. And you could say that would have been probably a bit of a dynasty with the side we had, considering won the 2010 flag. So, things change very rapidly in this competition, and Melbourne did lose to Collingwood again this year. I think 3 other sides. So, anyway, what do you think about that?
Paul, you make a good point. Anytime there's a youngish team and they win a grand final, dynasty gets thrown around a lot. And I think it's not just AFL, it's all sport. And you make a really good point about that 2010 Collingwood team that a lot of people thought were going to go to that next step. They came oh so close a year later where they had a really good year, but injuries probably got them. And then once Nathan Buckley come in, that prelim in 2012, and then they started to make the winds of change. It turned around and got them oh so close in 2018. But you can only sort of live in the present. And the makeup of the list, now I'm not suggesting that it's going to happen, but the makeup of the list at Melbourne suggests, hence why people sometimes go with it, that a dynasty is well within the grasp, or at least the idea of a dynasty is one that, now sport is the ultimate reality TV, so we don't know what the hell's going to happen, but when you win a premiership with this list makeup, it's an easy way to look at it to say that they're going to have a long, and now not necessarily win flags, but a long sustained crack at it year in, year out. When you've got Petrarca and Oliver and Luke Jackson, who's even younger than those two, Max Gorn's still got some good footy to go for obvious reasons. You've got May and Lever, who in particular Lever isn't that old. All of a sudden you're set up with some of the best players in key positions in the league. So I get what you're saying, Paul, 100%. Dynasties don't happen all that well, although we have seen in the last 20-odd years, we have seen Brisbane do it, then we've seen Geelong do it, then we have seen Hawthorn do it, and then we've seen Richmond do it. So we've actually seen four dynasties in 20 years, which, Paul, I'm not sure how old you are, but it's something that you don't probably expect to see a great deal over a short time, but we've seen four dynasties in the last two decades.
Yeah, I just like to say one thing. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit older than you, I'd say, because I actually, my first grand final was the 1977 draw.
There you
and
go.
I thought I saw a Tom Hafey dynasty. Now, he was in, what, four or five grand finals?
He was.
At that time, and it never eventuated to the ultimate. So I take, and look, there's a bit of luck involved, you know, injuries and that sort of thing. So we need to take that on board as well. But they've got the makings of a good side from
they
what
have.
I saw the other day. And but yet again, you know, they need to be a little bit more mindful and tread carefully because things can change in this game so quickly and you need a little bit of luck too.
No doubt. Thank you, Paul. Very, very appreciative of the call on 1-300-23-55-48. The dynasty one's an interesting one. No doubt it gets thrown around. It was thrown around a little bit about the Bulldogs in 2016 when they were able to get it done and the list makeup and the suggestions they were going to go to a new level. And in the end, a fair bit of chopping and changing, and it took 5 years to get back there. And all of a sudden, there was only nine of those players, I think, that played in 2016. But, yeah, dynasties, if you look at it, of course, that Hawthorn dynasty of the mid-'80s, then you have, you know, a mini-dynasty, I guess, in the middle of that decade with Essendon. Again, what is the terminology and the definition exactly of a dynasty? You could argue that North Melbourne's run for the majority of that decade in the 90s where they played in so many prelims and three grand finals and a couple of flags, and then we see Brisbane, Geelong, Hawthorn and Richmond. I think everyone agrees they were dynasties, all winning three flags, and in Hawthorn's case, four over a little bit of a expanded time. It's interesting. You do have to be careful, but it is the media, and this is what we do, Tom. Tom's in Toowoomba. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, g'day. How you going?
Fire away, mate. You're a Suns man, are you?
I am a Suns man. Listen, I think, you know, the lockdown and you know, the end of the season has got everyone a bit excited about Ben King. I'll draw your attention to, there was an ad about 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it's a bloke walking along the beach in his thongs, and he calls his mate in the UK where it's sheeting down with rain, and he doesn't say anything, he just, the sound of his thongs on the beach. Well, Ben King literally does that to his brother Max. Max is in the middle of a miserable Melbourne winter, losing games, losing form, and Ben's on the beach having a surf and saying, mate, you've got to get up here. The other rumour today is that Max King's regretting his long-term contract at St Kilda because he wants to transfer to the Suns. What do you think?
Well, I haven't heard that. I do like the philosophy behind it being a Sun, or you being a Suns fan. And, of course, the weather, I think it's hard to argue the weather on the Gold Coast is probably a little bit better than the Melbourne weather, which I think is going to turn nasty in the next 24 hours. But that is, it's wishful thinking because traditionally the direction of these young guns goes from up that way down to Melbourne. But it's wishful thinking because maybe the Gold Coast Suns should try and flip the switch here and be like, okay, we can wait a little bit because, of course, with the deal, that's the issue as well. One guy's got a contract and the other one is going to be out in 12 months' time. But I do – hey, Tommy, does it annoy you when every single year these good players get bought up in trade talks, or do you understand that's sort of the game when you're leaving these players who have 12 months still only to play on their contract, and that's the difference in AFL?
Yeah, look, I'm philosophical about it because when Stuart Dew and Craig Cameron went to the Suns 4 years ago, they just said it was definitely going to be a rebuild.
Yep.
And so when Stephen May gets transferred out, well, we get pick six, and that's Ben King. And when Tom Lynch goes to Richmond, and instead of doing what GWS did to Geelong and try to match the bid, instead the Gold Coast have said, well, look, we're going to get pick three in compensation, and they get Isaac Rankin. So Isaac's not really turning out as well as we thought over the 3 years, but he can be anything. He can be the next Eddie Betts. So you look at that and go, all right, well, we're going to be rebuilding anyway. And Tom Lynch and Stephen May would have been just taking up these huge contracts, and we'd still be losing. So, you know, you sort of get a bit philosophical. I don't believe it's been as many players as people make out. Some of the players have been traded out, like Harley Bennell. Well, we know what's happened to him, so that's a win for the Suns, because that turned into Braden Fiorini, who's a great little player. So, yeah, I think the narrative is all of these players are leaving, but it's actually not as many as people think. It's just that the Suns never, ever had a setup in the first place. I spoke this afternoon to Matt Brandel, actually, and he went off about it. It was great. I totally agree with what he said. They were never set up very well in the first place, and therefore we needed some concessions to come in, and now there's a really great little list. Elijah Hollins hasn't played an AFL game yet, and he is fantastic. Alex Davies played one AFL game this year. He's amazing. Like he's the next Pendles, right?
No.
So, yeah, you can come and get all of our players, but we've got so many good young players coming through. Won't really matter.
I love it. Tom, thank you for the call, mate. Enjoy it.
No worries. Good night.
Kogan Mobile Open Line is open, 1-300-23-55-48. Time on trade, all thanks to Continental Tyres. When you need tyres, ask for Continental. Jump on continental-tyres.com.au. Jack in St Kilda, wait right there. I'm coming to you on the other side of this. Time on trade for your Tuesday. The Kogan Mobile Open Line is open, 1-300-23-55-48. Make the call and switch to Kogan Mobile today. We'll get to the news shortly. Firstly, Jack in St Kilda. Hello, Jack.
Oh, hi. Just want to hear your thoughts on Cherrick going to Carlton and Carlton offering a lot of money to another midfielder. What are your thoughts?
As in a lot of money to what? You're talking to Adam Cherrick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the money's going to be as high as you would think it's going to be. Traditionally, you have to pay a little bit more to get a player out of a certain deal, or at least out of a certain club, of course, him being out of contract. But I think the money that Adam Cher is being offered by Carlton is a little bit less than what the deal was at Fremantle, because he's so keen to come back to Melbourne. So, look, I think it'll end up being pick six. I think that, you know, obviously that's where Carlton will start. Fremantle will want more, and understandably so, because they've got a midfield that we're going in the right direction. And if they could hold on to him for maybe 12 more months, I know the contract hasn't quite worked out that way, then you add, you know, him to a midfield led by, you know, Darcy and Sarong and these guys who are had a really good second half for the year. I think it can definitely be one of the best. It allows Nat Fyfe maybe to play a bit more forward. But, no, I think it's the right player to go. If you get him and you're back for Carlton, do you, Jack?
No, I actually go for Richmond.
Well, if you're a Carlton fan, you get Hewitt in there. If you're able to get Cher in there, you obviously got Williams. You got Sarge, you paid a lot for last year. And then in a situation, you hopefully get Charlie Curnow going inside 50 with the Coleman medalist. And I think it's a bold move, and one you're going to have a crack at if you're a Carlton team right now under Michael Voss. But I think it's the right decision, mate. Appreciate your call. Yeah.
All right. Shout out to Simon Jackson.
There we go. Kogan Mobile Open Line, 1-300-23-55-48. You can use it, make the call, and switch to Kogan Mobile today.
A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles.
All thanks to Beaumont Tiles and the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit iCanWin.com.au. Fair bit of news around officially. Patrick Lipinski has requested a trade to Collingwood. It's not an overly huge surprise. The Western Bulldogs with a three-year deal being offered to Lipinski, who struggled to get into that team. That's such a deep midfielder. We're well aware of how strong the Dogs are in the position that he plays. Got a lot of the ball in the VFL. When that season was on, of course, that's been disrupted the last couple of years as well, which doesn't exactly fill a great deal of people who are right on the cusp of playing senior football a huge chance to break their way in. But it's a tough midfield to break into, and he's put his hand up and told the Dogs that he officially wants to get to the Pies. Not too long ago, the boys spoke about how exactly, I'm talking Mitch Cleary, Soss and Matty Rendell, how exactly he will get there.
this is going to be a fun one to watch. Not to mention that the background that last year these two clubs did the Treloar deal, and there might be a little bit of bad blood just floating around.
Payback, you reckon, Mitch?
Well, maybe. I think, given Lipinski and Kruger are going to end up at Collingwood, one of those will be through the preseason draft. Yeah. I just think, given Collingwood need to stockpile these picks for Nick Daicos, the interesting one with Lipinski is the Dogs need their own points for Sam Darcy.
Well, they do. I mean, future picks, I think, are going to come into play here. So I don't think they're going to get anything in this year's national draft. But, yeah, probably future picks will come into play.
It will be interesting. Adam Treloar deal from 12 months ago that happened right on the strike of midnight when it was right at the end of the trade. Who's paying what? This is going to happen. It's not going to happen. Then it happened. And then, of course, as Mitch Cleary pointed out there, both the Dogs and the Pies need those points based on where Darcy and Daicos are bid on by other clubs. So strategically, that might be a way of which other clubs sometimes come in over the top, try and force the hand of certain clubs, and it might give a little bit of leverage in other deals as well. But there is no doubt Patrick Lipinski, he will get there. This always happens. 9 times, in fact, 98 times out of 100, a player who wants to get to a particular club ends up getting to the club. It's just the way of which he does get there. Kruger's another guy that Mitch spoke about there. Pre-season draft, an opportunity for one of these guys to be able to end up in the black and white without maybe giving up a pick or giving up some of those extremely important points that they need, both clubs to be fair, but in particular Collingwood need to be able to get Nick Daicos without going into too much of deficit. That is the main news today for Beaumont Tiles and the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit iCanWin.com.au. Off the text, and you can get involved on the Trade Radio text line anytime you want, 0419 187 323. Hi, Cam. It's from Mike in East Freo. Players who break contracts is wrong. They sign up for it, they should meet their obligations. I see what you're saying, Mike, and I understand it. It's the professional world of which we live in sport nowadays, and I guess it does go both ways to an extent, because you see players who are unhappy about certain circumstances. Now, we are seeing players here, you know, the Adam Cherys of the world, the Patrick Lipinskis of the world, the players who are out of contract. There's a little bit of that sort of grey area now because the AFL with restricted and unrestricted free agency and how that all kind of sits. But no one signs 8-year deals. No one signs those deals as a rookie, and all of a sudden you don't just get to – you've got to be able to thrash your way out of that particular contract if you want to stay or if you want to be on the move. So essentially there's some type of redundancy now in the free agency point of view because you get to that certain point that you can get your way out of it anyway. The only thing that matters, it probably looks after the clubs a little bit, because if you get to a certain point and have them on your list, then you do get compensated, which I'm not huge on, as I touched on earlier. I don't think it's as wrong as you're trying to suggest, Mike, but I also understand your point of view because there is some frustration, in particular from fans, when you see a certain player sign a deal, be it 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or whatever it might be, and then circumstances change. Circumstances change where the player is not getting an opportunity or may not be a financial decision. I would hope not, but you know, family situation and coronavirus and the hubs and the restrictions in the last couple of years obviously play a big part of that as well. So is there frustration from fans when players put their hand up and say, I know that I'm in contract or under contract still, but I kind of want to go elsewhere? Of course there is. But clubs often go the other way as well and suggest to a football player who is in contract, hey, we kind of wouldn't mind if you were able to on the way out. Peter Adams is a perfect example of this. Sam Edmund spoke about this morning. He was loving Port. He's a Port fan growing up, and he was ready to be like, hey, you know what? I'm under contract. I played in a good team this year. We were top four. I played in the prelim. You know, I'm the second ruckman behind Scott Lysette, but hey, I'm ready to work my backside off and be a part of this team again. And the club says, oh, look, if there's options out there, maybe you should take that opportunity to have a look elsewhere. So it does go both ways, Michael, though I do understand the frustration. Hey, off the text here as well, thing I would change from Anonymous is, honestly, just trade players without their will. Before I answer that, Marty Pask, of course, very prominent player agent today on Continental Trade Radio, had this to say.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate. And look, to be honest, I don't know 100% where I sit with it, sitting here right now, because I can see I can see from the argument from Clubland, and then I can certainly see the argument from player. And then there's obviously the middle. And the middle ground are situations where you need to look into it a little bit further, in the sense that, yes, American sports look good, but remember that minimum contracts in America are north of $1 million. So to pick up a bloke and just plonk him somewhere overnight, and he's sitting on $1 million, and he's got the lifestyle and the ability to support that, is a hell of a lot different than potentially a guy on $120,000 and $4,000 a game. So there's different complexities that go into it. Yes, the top end of the market, and I think everybody looks at the top end of the market where someone's on $800,000 and they can move and they should be okay. They can rent a house. They can adjust and manage. But that's not everybody in the competition. Whereas in the American sports, the minimum wages are enormous salaries. And they can adjust it, and they can basically survive and be able to do it. So I worry about that bottom end, in the sense of the financial impact of what it has, and families. And a lot of the time too, a lot of these guys, they have two working people in their family. So they have a wife or a girlfriend that works to be able to, you know, sustain that income. So not everyone's on the big money like they are in these American sports, which is the example that you mentioned and everyone mentioned. So that's one argument that I think that people probably need to explore a little bit further, and how that impacts. But then the other side of the argument too is, you mentioned the Ryan Burton situation just before. So clubs do have the opportunity to trade a player, even though he's contracted as well. So those conversations do happen. And I already probably have heard six or seven on your show already where these guys are contracted or have a year to run on their contract. So clubs now are having these mature conversations with players anyway. So very rarely do you get a situation where a club says, hey, explore your options, even though you've got a year to run on your contract, and then all of a sudden they come back to the footy club. Often you'll find that when a club says that to them and they've got a year to run on their contract, they tend to leave. So there is that power, in a sense, with the club anyway, where if you have a mature conversation and you want the desired outcome, whether it be, I have to clear money in my salary cap, or you're not going to get opportunity, whatever it may be, those conversations do tend to take place anyway.
Marty Pask earlier today on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio, talking a little bit about what we were just discussing about those mature conversations that probably take the player by surprise at the start of the AFL trade period, but by the end of it, might be able to, if they do in fact find a new home. Ryan Burton is a really good example of that, and the Chad Wingard trade from a couple of years ago. In the end, they were able to find a common ground, and he puts his hand up, he meets with Port Adelaide, and he's happy, and everyone's happy. The discussion, I guess, about just trading a player without the will, or at least without their knowledge, is something that can't happen for the exact reason that Marty pointed out. But I don't think a player wakes up one day and is absolutely stunned that he's on the way out. But love the question, and I beautifully answered there by Marty Pask, because the money is just way too low. And when I say that, I'm very understanding of how much and how well paid AFL players are. And we'll say the average of just over $300,000 is a lot more, I'll speak for myself, a hell of a lot more than I'll ever earn in my life, and possibly for you listening right now, although there are probably people who make more than that. But it is a greater deal of money than for us. But to actually just wake up one day and say to a certain player, you're moving across to Western Australia, it's nowhere near enough. Let's get to a break. 1-300-23-55-48. Virginia, Simon, wait right there. I'm coming to you next, right here on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. This is Time on Trade. Time on Trade, all thanks to Continental Tires. We're going to take in a little bit of a sliding doors moment in a split second. Firstly, Simon joins us. Simon, fire away.
So I know a couple of people at the West Coast Eagles, and I'm hearing that the club is preparing to offer Ben Cousins a coaching role.
All right, there you go. Obviously, we did see Ben Cousins probably one of the first times for almost a decade, maybe even longer, probably since he retired at Richmond, that he is and was part of an AFL official Knight of the Brownlow Medal. He's obviously, we all know about his struggles and what he's been through in the last 15 or 16 years, probably even longer than that, so much of that self-inflicted, clearly. But he looked like he was doing really well. It was great to see him embraced by so many. So, Simon, I guess we'll see. We know how great of a footballer he was. His football brain, his IQ were through the roof. So if that's the way that he continues to work his way through life and get bigger and better each and every day and get healthier, and that's the main thing. And there's an opportunity to join a football club that he played so many great games for, then it can only be good for Benny Cousins and the players he's going to work with. So we'll see how it plays out, Simon, and appreciate your call. All right, sliding doors moments. I love this. Matty Rendell, Sauce, Mitch Cleary sat down and spoke just a little bit about 2014.
I want to chat about Christian Mitraka, Marcus Bontempelli, and their impact back on Saturday night. I think this is a conversation you guys had off air, which usually some of the best ones. We want to bring it on air this afternoon. We go back to the 2013 draft and some of the sliding doors moments. So
yeah.
2013 draft goes Tom Boyd at one, Josh Kelly two, both of the Giants, Jack Billings three, Marcus Bontempelli four. And then the year after, Paddy McCartan at one, Petrarca at two, Brayshaw three. What are your memories of these two draft guys, given you were both pretty influential?
Well, the first one, Sauce, you were heavily involved in this because Melbourne traded pick two to GWS, didn't they?
So for
Dom Tyson?
Yes, that's
and Salem, and pick nine, which ended up being Salem.
Yes. That's right. So, and I think we may have got 14 back or something like that because we ended up taking Cam McCarthy with that as well.
You did take Cam.
So look, it was bold move by Melbourne at the time. They got Tyson and they got our pick nine. I think we had pick nine at the time and we got 2 and 14.
That's right, 2 and 14.
We only got two and maybe a late team that we were able to trade up. I don't know that whether it was 2-14, but it was a good deal really
both clubs. So you had pick two.
They had pick two.
And you had pick
nine.
Oh, so you went from nine to two.
Yep.
And got another one back.
And they got Dom Tyson, who played some really good footy early at the Demons, but obviously injury got him. So yeah, they gave up.
So
pick
how
two.
Did they get Dom Tyson?
We traded GWS
Was Dom Tyson with you, Blokes, first?
Yeah.
Oh God, I forgot about
top
that.
Top three pick, one of the originals.
Yeah. So they got Dom Tyson and Salem.
Okay.
And the Giants got pick two and maybe 14 or 20. I can't remember.
Because I'm reading here, your pick nine at that time that ended with Melbourne was a mid-first-round compensation pick from 2010. So you got that as part of a deal previously.
So Salem came out of that. Dom Tyson hasn't worked as well. And the following year.
So there's one premiership player at Melbourne in Christian Salem. The following year, the Saints go to the draft, take Paddy McCartan at pick one.
Mm.
The Demons have pick two. They take Christian Petrarca. They also have pick three that year, given James Frawley has just moved from the Melbourne Footy Club to Hawthorn, goes on to win a flag, but the Demons are able to land Petrarca and Brayshaw at two and three.
So they get three because of what?
Because of Frawley compensation pick free agency, is that correct?
Correct. So he was the value of his contract at Hawthorn said it was a first-round compensation pick, and given Melbourne had finished second last, the pick in that year's draft was following that. It's a luck of the draw.
You'd be tipping out Frawley that quickly, wouldn't you?
He was a pretty good player at Hawthorn.
He was a good player. I'm not saying that, but when you know you're getting pick three, please.
Yeah.
So here's the little story around that is my information is that the coach of St Kilda might have strongly influenced the recruiting manager, that was Tony Elshaw, to take McCartan at pick one. I think 17 other clubs in the competition had Petrarca as a clear number one in that draft. So Petrarca accidentally falls to Melbourne. And here's the irony. That coach of St Kilda at the time, Alan Richardson, is now the football manager of Melbourne. How's that for a beautiful story?
That's the beauty of footy and how that works.
Yeah, it's it's really hard to sort of comment on those things because I think – you know, every club have made mistakes in picking players and whatever. And if you had hindsight, it's a wonderful thing.
Paddy McCartan was kicking bags against under-18 kids at Playing for Vic Country, wasn't he?
I think we had him about pick eight.
When you have a look at the injuries, I mean, particularly his concussions, I mean,
you can't
see that.
You can't foresee that. But he did have a health issue that we knew about. He had diabetes, which we knew about. I'm not sure St Kilda knew about it.
I think it was pretty well known at the time. Maybe I could be wrong, but...
But we met him at Collingwood. We met him about pick eight. And there was a... Look, he was a fantastic mark and a great kick. But my worry was he was 193 centimetre. He was quick off the mark. 193 centimetre. He was going to have issues with his diabetes and been out of run and get round the ground. So he was going to be a stay-at-home full forward. And we just thought there is 25 players in the league who can play on a quick leading full forward at 193. And I just thought that unless he can show us that he kicks goals in different ways, handball receives, ball off the ground, front square, that sort of stuff, that that's the reason why we had him a bit further down. Still happy to take him in the draft, but not at that pick.
Just on that official trade. So going back to the 2013 off-season, the Demons gave up picks 2, 20 and 72. They received Tyson, pick 9 and pick 53. They actually took Jaden Hunt, Christian Salem's schoolmate, as part of that.
Which I was very naughty about because he was my super-duper smoky. Okay. That year I went and watched him numerous times.
And would have been a premiership player this year if not for injury. He just got injured at the wrong time.
I think they took him two or three spots before us, and guess who we took? Tommy Langdon.
Okay.
Mm.
Well, there you have it. Some sliding doors moments. And James Frawley was an All-Australian for Melbourne in 2020, crosses to the Hawthorn Footy Club and wins a flag in his first year. Played on Josh Kennedy in that grand.
That's what you should most certainly do. The Kogan Mobile Open Line will be open first thing tomorrow morning. Kane Corns and Matty Lloyd to kickstart it on 1300 2355. 48. You can always text as well. Bit of news getting around for Mate Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied NBN customers. Internet from $59. See Riley Beveridge on AFL.com.au reporting Magic Door. Looks like he's going to re-sign and stay at least on the rookie list at Melbourne. So good news there. Of course, Patrick Lipinski today put his hand up and told the Dogs, rather, through his management that he wants and is requesting a trade to Collingwood, although there was a three-year deal reportedly on the table. I think it was John Ralph from the Herald Sun suggesting that as well. And Adam Chera, we do expect to be nominating Carlton sooner rather than later. That's for Mate Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied NBN customers. Internet from $59. All right, quickly, of course, the text line always open. Just off the text here, this is a Power fan. Josh says when it comes to the consequences of going into draft deficit, there's a fair bit of conversation around this year around Collingwood. If you go, you don't lose future draft picks, you drop down till it evens up. So a couple of years ago, and Soss spoke brilliantly about this yesterday, the Dockers were bid on, the players were bid on, it was Hayden Young and it was Caleb Sarong. So 12 months later, they dropped from what should have been pick number 7 to pick number 10. So there you go. You don't lose future draft picks, but you do drop down the draft order 12 months later. Off the text, high cam, straight swap Lipinski for Max Lynch. I don't think the Bulldogs would say yes to that, although they are looking, I believe, for another ruckman. It has been reported, but they're pretty keen on Lipinski, so I don't think they would do that, although Max Lynch is a guy who I think can play some good footy in the next couple of years as he develops. And Essendon, who's that? Fong from Melbourne asking about the Bombers. Well, Ben Rudden said yesterday he's really happy where they are. 12 months ago, guys took the next step. They expect to do it as well. So don't expect, as it stands right now, too much from the Essendon Football Club. All thanks to Continental Tires. This is AFL Trade Radio. See you tomorrow.